I think I'm monopolizing all the questions. If anybody would like to ask Mr. Stewart some questions, yes.
I know, Christian, about your Hitchcock films, and I was wondering if you had any reservations about playing these characters in your Hitchcock films because of the nature of their sexuality. There's an intimation of homosexuality in Rome, fetishistic necrophiliac.
About some of the quirks of the characters in Hitchcock films. The Peeping Tom aspects of Rear Window and the necrophiliac aspects in Vertigo. The man supposedly in love with a dead woman and just being a voyeur in Rear Window. And how you came to grips with that.
Yeah, I just didn't come to grips with it. Yeah, I think the idea that was brought to Hitchcock was based primarily on the Leopold Loeb, and I think there certainly is a similarity there.
And that you were the symbolic Nietzsche?
I don't think that Hitch meant to emphasize that at all. I think he used it as a sort of an overall theme, but I don't think he meant at all to emphasize or to try and pin it on that particular thing and have the impression that that the story was the story about the Loeb-Leopold case. I didn't. But in answer to the other question too, you know, I really never thought about those things very much, because the idea of working and getting the benefit of being directed by Alfred Hitchcock, this is a tremendous tremendous privilege and something for a young actor getting experience, and it's a wonderful thing to happen to you. Yes.
One of my favorites is Death Your Eyes Again. Say some anecdote about that, or
wants to know a story about Destry Rides Again. He wants some background information on Destry and George Marshall.
Well, George Marshall is one of the greats, of course. I just one of the greats of the picture business. The story itself, as a matter of fact, I got quite a few letters, might call them poison pen notes, from real dyed-in-the-wool Western buffs. And the idea of one of the best fights I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of.
Yes.
I think my favorite of all your films, and maybe my favorite of all the films I've ever seen, is It's a Wonderful Life. Could you talk about that film? Right.
Yeah. Well, it's my favorite film. It's my favorite. And I never knew until I read Frank Capra's book, which I think is by far the best book on Hollywood, incidentally. I never knew it until I read his book that it's his favorite film. I think for...
It's a Wonderful Life.
I think there are a lot of reasons. I have always... people say, well, do you tend to pick certain kinds of roles and so on? I suppose when you're in a thing as long as I've been around. I suppose you tend to pick certain, to have a sort of a tendency to pick certain types of roles. I've always been very interested and fascinated by the vulnerability of people. And to me, the plodding, vulnerable man who is beset by all the frustrations and the crises and the disappointments and the troubles that we all have in everyday life, and to have, like it happened in that picture, through a series of events, to have it shown to him that with all this, and being as vulnerable as he is, and plodding along, that with all this, somehow, it's worth it. And that's pretty good stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Did you ever turn down a role that you later wish you had not turned down?
Did you ever turn down a role that you wish you hadn't later?
I turned down, although I was going to do the picture. The picture, I don't know whether it was the original title or not, but it was a picture called Designing Woman, ended up Designing Woman, Lauren Bacall and Greg Peck.
Right.
But I was going to do it with Grace Kelly, and we were all set to go, but she had all her clothes and everything. We were all set to go, and she came in and she said, I'm going to get married. And so she went off and got married to the prince, and then they say, "Well, we'll get somebody else." And I somehow thought it ought to be Grace Kelly, and so I walked away from it. But I'm sorry. I wish I'd done it. It was been a good picture.
This man's been standing up in the back for quite a while.
Mr. Stewart, I believe that one of your enduring qualities as an actor is your sense of restraint and understatement. Today, many people are disgusted with some of the excesses of film work today, its over-explicitness. Would you care to comment about what you would like to see the film industry do regarding bringing back a sense of sensitivity toward human values and leaving the audience to participate rather than having everything thrown in their faces?
No, I didn't.
All right. The man says that he wants to know what your reaction is to the over-explicitness and the having everything thrown in the face school of acting and screen storytelling as of today. What would you like to see the film industry bring back in terms of acting, understatement, that type of thing?
Well, I think that I don't know, naturally have been asked that question before, or things like that question, and it's a very good question, and because it's a problem in the picture business today. I have always felt that one of the things that is lacking today is variety in the type of picture that is made. I have such complete confidence in the medium, in the film medium, that I think it can do almost anything. And I think I think to restrict it and to get the type of story or the type of feeling that comes across, to restrict it to one certain type of thing is not using the medium properly. So it's a waste. A lot of people will argue with you, and you say, well, the reason you get a lot of this stuff is the audience. The audience pays for it, and they do good business. The audience pays for it. That's the reason. But nobody of all the people, nobody seems to ever mention Walt Disney. Walt Disney, the company is, what, 30, 40, 50, 50 years old. It's going stronger now than ever. The main source of its income is film. It does film. I don't like the term family picture. I sort of back off when somebody comes up and say, why don't you guys make pictures I can take my kids to? I'm not sure that fella doesn't mean, why don't you make pictures I can send my kids to so my wife and I can sit home and look at television, you know? I'm not sure. I don't remember going to the movies very much with my family. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that the medium has such great potential that it deserves to be used in all sorts of ways, all sorts of different ways, all sorts of different story material, a variety of all sorts, because I think it's a strong enough medium to stand that variety.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any comments about working with Anthony Mann?
Working with Anthony Mann. Comments about Anthony Mann.
Oh yeah, Anthony Mann. A lot of pictures. He also was a visual man, very much so. He had the Ford thing. He was able to, he didn't move the camera around very much, put the camera and had the people, the action move in front of the camera, which makes pretty good sense, you know, for, after all, it's moving pictures. I thought he was an excellent director, and I did five, six, seven pictures. He proved him eight. And missed one. But he had he was capable he didn't just tag himself with a Western thing. He was able there again, as in Capra and Ford, Hitchcock, Hathaway, he was able to get story on the screen and put it on the screen and make it exciting.
He did a beautiful job on the Glenn Miller story, which could have been. Yes.
I'm interested in any actors who may have impressed you when you were just beginning, because I know your acting style has always been interesting to me, because it seems like a nice mixture between a sort of naturalistic method approach or whatever, and I wonder if you could mention any people who might have impressed you, actors.
When you were beginning to become an actor, who were people that impressed you as actors?
Tracy Cooper, Wallace Berry, strangely enough, a lot of it wasn't only watching them act and sort of, because none of them ever talked very much and sat around one and sort of analyzed scenes. Tracy wouldn't talk about it. He said, just get up and learn your lines and don't fall over anything. I think a lot of it was their attitude and their feeling toward the business, toward the audience, toward sort of what their responsibility was as far as being an actor and as far as their responsibility to the audience. I remember years ago, been out here not very long, and I'd done a couple of pictures, but I was in a picture with Ted Healy. I don't know if you, probably very few of you remember him, but he was a comedian, sort of in the style of Jack Benny. As a matter of fact, he had a vaudeville act with the Three Stooges that have done a lot of things on television. But we were on our way out to Muroc Dry Lake or something. We were doing a picture for Metro. And he's a funny man, just funny. He is the first time I ever heard double talk. And I didn't realize what it was. He kept talking to me, and I suddenly realized that I didn't understand anything he was saying. And I'd get closer to him and closer to him, and finally realized what it was. But then out of all this, he turned to me and he said, "Well, you know, you might, with some luck and all sorts of things, you might make it out here. But one thing you want to remember, you never should consider the audience as customers. You should always consider the audience as partners." And I've never forgotten that. And I think it was very good advice. I've always felt that way. But I got that advice from him.
Yes.
I had heard a story that after It's a Wonderful Life, you were going to give up acting, but Lionel Barrymore talked to you about it or something. I don't know if that's true.
Is it true that Lionel Barrymore talked you out of giving up acting? Talked you out of giving up acting after It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I don't know. I imagine we were talking one day and somebody heard that, but I wasn't about to give up acting.
Let's see. Yes. Fellow in the dark shirt right here. Is that?
Yeah.
You. Yeah, you.
Lately, I probably stay home and watch some of the older films on television and go out and see the new ones. In the past year, 18 months, can you name 5 or 6 films you really enjoyed as much as you enjoyed the old ones?
Have you seen 5 or 6 films in the past year that you really liked? One film.
Yeah, I've seen several pictures I've liked. I can't remember the name right now. I don't mean to be facetious. I just can't. I can't. But I. There are a lot of good films.
They do run together. Yes. Yes.
Have you ever played or ever wanted to play an out-and-out villain?
Have you ever wanted to play a villain, or have you ever played an out-and-out villain?
I have. I did. I don't know exactly what an out-and-out villain is, but I did it on a thing called After the Thin Man. I don't know if you've seen the Thin Man series with William Powell and Myrna Loy. Wonderful series that MGM made. Well, the last one, I think it was the After the Thin Man, I was a contract player at MGM, and I was the villain. And as I remember, somebody threw me out of the window at the end of the thing. But I nobody's ever asked me to play a villain. I never had any set rule or something. Say no. I was talking about Hank Fonda. You know, we did a picture and the good, real good villain thing, and he jumped it up, snapped it up like a hungry dog. No, I never had any aversion to it.
Yes.
Mr. Stewart, you spoke earlier about a half a dozen directors that you enjoyed working with, and you were very brief on the reasons you didn't. I wonder if you could explain to us what director, the reasons that certain directors really excited you, and by the same token, can you tell us maybe the reasons why certain directors turn you off?
Well, did everybody hear that question? Good.
That's a tough one. The directing thing is a hard thing to analyze in the first place. It's such a tremendously important job in the making of a movie. I actually can't, thinking over the years and the different directors, and I can't think of anybody any director that has really turned me off. I've always had...
Anything that they might do as a, you as a performer, and they as a director, what they might do to really kind of excite you, and what they might do to just do the opposite.
I think it means style, more or less, a style of direction that you can really react to right away, rather than having to get into, say, a director that you meet for the first time and haven't worked with and can't really quite figure out how you're going to work with him.
It really isn't that difficult. As far as style of directing is concerned, it's always seemed to me that when they hire you, they expect you to sort of know your way around. As Tracy says, you got to learn your lines and don't fall over anything. That's sort of fundamental. I've had them. A good director is able to look at the thing objectively, which you aren't, because you're just one part of the scene. He's able to look at the scene as a whole. Some of them don't have that ability. Some of them concentrate on one performance or concentrate on one, which is a disadvantage to them. I don't know whether I'm answering your question or not, but I think the directors that I've gotten the most out of are the directors who, when they say roll the camera, they look at the scene you're doing as a whole. They look at it as visualize where this scene fits into the picture as a whole, and not on individual little tiny bits of business and little things that they give people to do and so on. They have a broader view of that, and I've learned more from that type of director than I have the sort of the nitpickers.
We have time for about two more questions, and that's it. The lady in the back.
Thank you.
Yes.
My friend and I really missed you the first night because you had the flu. How are you?
Well, I really had the flu. I really wanted to be here for that picture. I wanted to see the picture again too, but I really had it, and in answer to your question, I'm all right.
Okay, right there.
This Hitchcock works from a storyboard. On four films you made with him, were there any shots that were either improvised or changed during the actual shooting?
Were any of the films that you made with Hitchcock improvised? Was there any improvisation that, or any major changes?
No. He's one of the man probably better comes prepared better than almost anybody I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of him improvisation with Ford. I always call it planned improvisation with John Ford, because I think he has a plan, but it looks as though it's improvised. But Hitchcock is a beautifully prepared fellow, and as I say, he doesn't much care about the spoken word, so it makes it very difficult for the script clerk, the girl that has to take the time of the scene and follow the lines as they're being said. Because lots of time after a scene, she'll come up to Hitch and she'll say, they didn't say anything like the in the script. He said it looked good. So, all right.
I have a question.
When you didn't win the Academy Award for Anatomy of a Murder, what did you think?
What did you think when you didn't win the Academy Award for Anatomy of a Murder?
When I won it for the Philadelphia story, my father ran a hardware store back in Pennsylvania, and he called me up, and he said, "You won the award." About 3 o'clock in the morning, I just got home from the celebration of the award. He called me up from Pennsylvania. He said, "You won the award." I said, "Yeah," and he said, "You better send it back to the hardware store." So I did. I sent the back in the, and he put it in the window. And it stayed there for 20 years. And then I got nominated for that Anatomy of a Murder. And he called me up about the same time after I'd been to the thing. He said, I heard over the radio, he said, a fella runs a theater in Johnstown, he said you were going to win it. And it's playing down there, and he has a big sign that says you're winner of the Academy Award. And you didn't win it. Right? I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, I don't know whether you mind this or not, but he came up to the store, and he asked me if he could borrow your Academy Award. And I said, well, what, did you give it to him? And he said, yeah. He said, he put it in the lobby of the theater, and they put a sign down below it, and he said, this is what it would look like if he had a one.